The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
NFL Week 7 is in the books, and so is your fantasy football week. We will start to take a look back at what happened in Week 7 and start moving ahead to Week 8 and a trade in the NFL to discuss. Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Toward the end zone. It is caught. Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
Fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch. Oh,
is caught! Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Toss to White. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl!
And welcome in. This is Fantasy Sports Today. As always, Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia with you here on the show. And we are here every day from noon to 2 Eastern. Of course, today, Chris Pavone is producing our show, so we say hello to Chris. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter at Craig Mish, at Joe Pizzapia 17 every Monday through Friday, noon to 2 Eastern. This is Fantasy Sports Today. And Joe, a good afternoon to you. We'll have a trade to discuss, and of course, a quick look back, because it won't take much time, a quick look back to the Monday night game, yet another night game in the NFL that ends up being a complete debacle. I mean, this was as disastrous a game that you could ever remember. And look, this is just kind of what happens in the NFL. Sometimes it is unpredictable, and this is the trend that we head towards. Unfortunately, we can only count the good night games maybe on one hand, maybe even less than that in all the games all season long. But that's kind of what we got last night, just a blowout from start to finish. It was really over in the first 6-7 minutes of the game.
Well, Craig, I guess it's all about perspective. So as a Patriots fan, I enjoyed this thoroughly. I love a good thrashing. Yes, so of course it was kind of over when it started, but at the same time, there's something fun about pounding your in-division opponents, especially coming off a huge win, an upset win, where they had hope. And yes, it sounds like a supervillain inside of me when I say this, but I love it when a team has hope, and then you crush them and you stuff their face back down and remind them who they are, And that's what the Patriots did to the Jets. Sam Darnold was seeing dead people, apparently, seeing ghosts. He told him, he told his coach, which, I mean, of all the things, when you know you're mic'd up, maybe that's not the smartest thing to say, but I guess he really was seeing ghosts because there were Patriots in white jerseys all over the place, and it might have felt that way. And it is around Halloween time, so perhaps it was right, but incredible scheme there. The pass rush, Booger McFarland did a really nice job, I think, of breaking down the pass rush and the way they were attacking that offensive line and changing out things and bringing in guys and then pulling them back and showing blitz and then not. And it really just confused Sam Darnold, and it was all kinds of trouble. And the Patriots defense, another shutout for them, Craig. And I think that's the big takeaway, too, is, man, this Patriots defense is terrifying right now.
Yeah, in fantasy, they've been one of the MVPs of the league. I don't know that I would ever say that, but that's, they've either scored a touchdown or pitched a shutout in virtually every game this season. And look, we'll just kind of have to see what the Jets do from here. But it was one of those Patriots games that you just right away, it just was obvious that they were going to crush them, and they did. And so didn't have to spend much time, in fact, watching that game last night, which was good for me, going out with a few friends and not even having to pay much attention once it was 24-0. That was the end of the game. And so beyond that, in terms of the performances, perhaps we'll dive into it a little bit later on, but there really isn't much to say. It was just Sony Michel and Tom Brady in the defense, and the Jets did absolutely nothing. And if you're hoping for anything from the Jets on Monday night, you got nothing. And so that was the end of that. So moving forward, it's interesting what the Patriots did today is they ended up making a trade to add some more depth to their team. And it seems like a pretty good trade for both sides, actually, on this one, where the Patriots get Mohamed Sanu, who's a nice player. And we can kind of get into him a little bit and see what he'll be able to provide for the Patriots the rest of the season. But I thought Atlanta did well, too. A second round pick for Sanu. We know Atlanta's going nowhere. And, you know, New England's second round pick probably be low anyway, but still, I mean, I think that the Falcons did a good job getting out in front of this one. And certainly you would never think Sanu, Joe, would be worth a first round pick. So I thought they did pretty well here getting a second.
Well, I think you make a really astute point there, which is the Patriots second round pick is practically the beginning of the third anyway, most likely, especially getting off to the 7-0 start. So yeah, it's a really good one. I think they paid a little bit more for Sanu because he's healthy. Number one, I think if you're going to take a shot on somebody, there's not Emmanuel Sanders has been banged up a bit. AJ Green, I think they have a little bit of that, I won't say buyer's remorse, but they're a little sketchy right now buying in on anybody after Antonio Brown's situation. That whole thing burned them. So I think now it's like, all right, let's pay a little bit more for a guy that's a little bit more reliable and maybe doesn't have the upside or talent level of some of these other guys, but he kind of fits this mold of the kind of player that tends to succeed there. And looking at Sanu for his, you know, receiving totals, so he's a guy that's never caught more than 67 balls in a season, but he's been a very reliable receiver, and he's worked with Matt Ryan for the last couple of years, a very reliable quarterback. Before that, he was with Andy Dalton. So, you know, he's used to playing with decent quarterbacks at the very minimum, and getting to play with Tom Brady, I think he fills a role in terms of size, in terms of ability, in terms of what they want to do on offense. I think he's an excellent complement to what they have already, and if they can just get Josh Gordon healthy, it's a huge addition for them. And yeah, it's a second round pick, but like you said, it's a late second round pick. So I get it. I think the Patriots overpaid. I think they overpaid for something that they feel is a sure thing. And I think that makes sense. And another Rutgers guy. You know how Belichick loves his Rutgers guys.
Yeah, a good guy, by the way, in Sanu. And so that was probably part of it.
Do you think they overpaid for that, too, because he's a high character guy? I feel like they do.
Maybe. I am very surprised that they gave up a two. But again, when you're in a situation where, you know, clearly the asking price for AJ Green, I guess, had to be more. Patriots are not really one of those teams that give up picks. But no, I understand at the same time, I think, Joe, this is more of an indictment. I know they're different players, but it's more of an indictment on Josh Gordon, honestly, for me. I think that fantasy-wise, and I have Josh Gordon in a couple of leagues, I have to have some concern because, like, I kind of knew that they were going to add a receiver, and certainly it could have been somebody better than Sanu, but I think that the end is coming here for Josh Gordon, unfortunately, in New England. I don't know that they're not done yet. Maybe they add another player to stretch the field potentially. But Gordon, to me, looks like a tight end in a wide receiver's uniform. He looks slow.
Yeah.
He doesn't look athletic anymore. And the promise that we thought with Gordon years ago with Cleveland and then going to New England, yeah, I mean, it happened for a few games last year. But I don't think he's a cuttable player. Uh-huh. I just feel like this is toward the end of the line, unfortunately.
You know, you might be right. I think right now, you know, it's always tough to gauge and judge somebody if they are truly injured. And it seems like he's dealing with some legitimate injuries, more than one, actually, from some reporting that you get out there from the beat guys. But you're not wrong. I think it's also an indictment of where AJ Green stock is, too. If you figure, hey, if the Patriots are moving a second round pick and they were shopping that around and they were like, no, we don't want AJ Green, you know, or Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, they control Sanu, I believe, beyond this year, too.
Well, and that's the other thing. You do have a little bit more control on Sanu, which is a positive. If the Pats make another move, I would rest assured it would be for an offensive lineman. I think that's the, you know, they have some issues there, too, in terms of injuries and guys on IR. So that wouldn't shock me either. But Sanu is perfect because Sanu gives you You know, a good size wide receiver. He's 30, I think, this year. I think he just turned 30. So you're in a spot there with him where he's a good complement to Edelman. You can rely on him. He's a good locker room guy. He's, you know, by all accounts, a model citizen, always has been, as you just discussed too. And it makes a lot of sense. It's a very Patriot kind of move. And yeah, on the other side of this, it tells you a couple things. The Atlanta Falcons are throwing in the towel, as they should. Yeah. And there should be more pieces to fall here in the next couple days, because this is going to be hot and heavy. I think there's a lot of teams that are going to jettison a lot of players.
Well, we'll see what happens. No doubt about that. Real quick, the other big story, I think, from the NFL, Joe, Kerryon Johnson of the Lions, who done a fair job pretty much this season. His worst game of the year was this past week. It looks like, according to published reports, he'll miss weeks, if not 1 week. And so next man up is Ty Johnson, who's going to be a hot name on the waiver wire. I checked all my leagues. He was available in all but one of them. And look, I don't know that there's any talent even with this kid, honestly. I have no clue. But I know that he's starting, and I know it's the Giants, so maybe there's some volume there, and I'm guessing he'll be the number one pickup in fantasy this week.
Well, he should be just for the matchup. I mean, right now, where we're on the waiver wire, why wouldn't you pick him up? And the fact that it is the Giants, hey, maybe you get a really good game out of him, and maybe you could flip him at the very least. So if you're the Kerryon Johnson owner, I think you need to overbid on him a little bit because of the matchup, and because, as you said, weeks with an S at the end of it makes a difference, and you see what you get. You're hopefully you at least get one decent game out of him based on matchup and volume. And then after that, you could see where it goes from there. But I think the Kerryon Johnson owner right now, you got to kind of pay a little bit more of what you got left in that fab to pick him up.
All right, we're off and running here on a Tuesday on Fantasy Sports Today. We've got the opening drive coming up next. We'll talk about the waiver wire as well. It is a Florida Man Tuesday, so we'll hit on that subject here on Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Joe Pizzapia here with you from noon to 2 Eastern. We've reached our first time out of the show. We'll hit the opening drive. Of course, the NBA is upon us, so we'll touch on that as well. Fantasy Sports Today rolls on in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. We're the co-hosts of Adlandia, the advertising industry's most thought-provoking podcast.
We are here with Lisa Bradner, GM of Analytics, and Teddy Jaudi, Head of Product from Yieldmo.
So we're here to talk with Lisa and Teddy about making attention actionable. Let's start from the top. What is Yieldmo?
Yieldmo is a next-generation marketplace powered by attention analytics, superior formats, and real-time data. We were really trying to say, how do we connect this ecosystem and make everything flow? I like to step back and say, all right, great, we've built the infrastructure, but let's talk about what we're putting through those pipes.
That's what we try to do at Yieldmo. Is we try to, you know, there's great technology out there. You can buy ads, serve them anywhere, but what is actually making an impact? And we focus on trying to allow marketers to see that.
Always have to be listening for that surprise signal that signals an opportunity you may not be thinking about. And our agile data structure allows our brands to work with us to do just that.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Adlandia Podcast and listen to Adlandia on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Kerry Brown, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today presents
First Play from Scrimmage,
the opening drive. the first play of the game.
From the opening play and all the way for a touchdown.
And welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. And yes, it is time for the opening drive of our Tuesday show. Always a quiet Tuesday. Usually Tuesdays and Wednesdays a little bit quiet for us, of course. The World Series begins tonight, so we'll fire up a lot of baseball talk here on the show. Can't wait to watch that game tonight with Garrett Cole and Max Scherzer. Should be an exciting series, hopefully a long series. But, Joe, let's get things started with the NBA, where the season is upon us. And the bad news came down late yesterday with Zion Williamson, the number one overall pick, and, of course, the stud that came out of Duke University, had that injury, and then they said, oh, I'll probably only miss a few games to start the season. Well, boom, now surgery. Going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, and certainly changes the landscape of the Pelicans' outlook. Also changes the outcome of who you would vote for Rookie of the Year, and maybe some of the wagering for Rookie of the Year in the NBA, which is always very popular as well. That was just a bummer to see because it does affect the excitement level of the NBA when you lose the top overall kid.
Yeah, it certainly does. And it's a bummer just as an NBA fan because you want to see Zion out there. He's had a brilliant college career. Everybody's excited. I know some people have made some comments about, oh, look at him, already hurt because of the body type because he's a little bit more round. And you know what? I like that he's a little round. I like that he's fit fat like me. You know, clearly Zion and I like the carbs, and there's nothing wrong with that.
You used to be a real thin guy. What happened to you?
I was never thin in my whole life. I always had a little bit of a belly, and I still do, and I don't care.
I don't remember that. I thought you were, you know,
I'm not like a giant overweight guy. No, I'm not. I'm also only 5'7", so, you know, it's a big difference there, you know, and you start putting on weight. But, you know, he's more in that, I don't want to say Charles Barkley mold, but when Charles Barkley was young, he was kind of a thick guy, and then he got bigger over time, and he held up pretty darn good, and he was a pretty great player. So I wouldn't worry too much about Zion's body type, but it's a bummer from fantasy perspective. If anything, Craig, I actually think this is an opportunity from a wagering perspective, because if you believe Zion is that good, 6 weeks is a drop in the bucket. I mean, it really is. Don't you think it is?
I don't know for this award that it is. I'm not sure about that. That I don't know that I see eye to eye with you on that one. There's also a kid, by the way, that is on the Miami Heat, and again, transparency with the NBA, and I've talked about this before, I don't follow it nearly as close to as I used to, but this kid Tyler Hero is 10 or 12 to 1 now. He was 40 to 1 to win Rookie of the Year. He's like one of the favorites potentially to win, and Miami doesn't really have anything else except Jimmy Butler. I would keep an eye on this kid. So I do not see eye to eye with you on that one. Maybe for an MVP type, because the guy can come back and propel them to a lot of wins and winning in the playoffs and all that, but no. I think this is going to hurt him, Joe. I do, because they'll ease him back, too. I mean, it could be like 3 months. I don't know. Right on the eve of the season, too. Like, that's what really hurts.
No, it sucks. It really does. And especially for the Pelicans, right? Because you're so excited to kind of turn a franchise around.
And perhaps the most impressive show ever, where you kind of made a comparison to yourself with Zion Williams, and I am super impressed. Like that's
right, baby. That's what I do.
Throwing yourself into the conversation with Zion. The reason why I like him is because it's me. I mean, that's
a little. He's does he look like everybody who comes out as the number one overall pick in the NBA or in any sport? No, he doesn't. He's a bigger dude. Like, he's just a little bit. He's thick. What's wrong with that? He's an athlete. Go get him, kid.
Yeah, I'm more worried about you than I am Zion Williamson.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Maybe I'm concerned here.
I got the gun show.
Are you weighing in at all? What are you looking at a scale at all? What's the deal?
I am 5'7", 185, but I'm not like, oh my God, fat.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's what's going on there. You were not 185 years ago.
Well, yeah, I was. Yeah, maybe 175. I put on probably 10, but I would say I'm down.
When I saw you 3 years or 4 years at Towers, there's no way you.
I saw you 2 years ago at Towers. 2 years ago at the FNTS.
There was no way you were 185 then. No.
Yes, I was. Uh huh. I am.
Wow, that's shocking.
I know. And it's all in the legs, and it's all in the belly. That's where it is. That's the one.
I would assume so. I mean, there's not a lot of. It's all in the figure.
I told you, I'm fit fat. I'm not a guy you look at and you go, boy, there's a big fat ass walking around. No, I'm not that guy. But I'm also not, oh, look at this skinny guy wearing skinny jeans or slim fit shirts. No, I'm not that guy, man. Boom.
All right.
I lift things up and put them down.
Speaking of pants. Odell Beckham Jr. has been fined for wearing pants that went beyond his knees for $14,000. He posted the letter on social media. Look, Beckham probably shouldn't have been fined for this. I get it. He's right. But now is not the time for the Browns to be popping off about anything, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't get this. Like, what? So the pants went past his knees. right? That's the
that was
issue.
Like the deal. Yeah.
Okay. So are you telling me that there's somebody who's monitoring that?
I
everywhere?
Guess so, Joe. I guess so. That's what we've been reduced to.
Okay.
We can't get the calls question. Right on the field, but we got to check the knees.
Well, that's, here you go. See, you knew exactly where I was going, and that's why we're.
Oh, friends. I didn't know. Okay.
Oh no, that you let. See, I led you to the water, and now we get to drink from it. See, there you go. And here's the question. So we have somebody monitoring that, but we can't get somebody to monitor that play at the end of the Packers Lions game where we get everything right. Like, that's the thing. And you know what? If this is a job, I'd like to throw my hand up here. I'll do this. I will go check. We'll you know, give me the all 22 camera. I'll check all 53. I'll make sure everybody's pants are the right size. And then I will dole out fines accordingly to the NFL. Because, you know, they're hurting for cash, Craig.
Well, I think you qualify for this. I think it's, I mean, among like the 8 podcasts that you do per day, you can mix in a 9th just on pants.
Hey, just that's how they do pants in prison. It's one of my favorite bits ever on a show. You know what I'm talking about on Friends? Where he's going to get the pants done? You know this episode?
No, I mean, I've watched Friends a lot, but no.
Now Joey sends Chandler to his tailor, and he says, you know, oh, you got to go see my guy, you know, the guy, whatever. And he goes there, and he goes to get his pants done, and there's, let's say, cuppage is what's going on. And he's like, oh, my God, what are you doing? Right? And he's moving his stuff over to get the thing. And he's like, yeah, but that's just how you do pants. And he goes, no, that's how they do pants in prison. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Gotcha. Okay. Fun. Next time I catch it on.
I got a lot of energy today. I don't know why. So take it while you got it. It's the Patriots win. That's why.
Must be. All right. Final Star Wars trailer is out, Joe. This will come out here in December. They're putting an end to the Star Wars series. Are you excited to see this one? Or will you see it in the first day, second day?
You know, The Who had a farewell tour in 1983. You know, I love this whole end of the Star Wars series nonsense. Like, they're not going to make 12 more movies.
Right, but I guess of this, is it trilogy? What do they even call it anymore?
I don't know. It's the third trilogy, so.
They ended the trilogy the last time, and now they brought back 3 movies again this time. I enjoyed these a lot more than I did the first 3. I think we've differentiated on that opinion. But
No. Okay. You don't mean the first 3 meaning the originals. You mean the first 3.
The originals were great, and then when they did the new ones.
Oh, they're horrible.
The first and second one were. I thought the third one was good.
The second one's one of the worst films ever made.
Ever.
The third
ever.
One has some moments, but the second one is wretched. The things that come out of their mouth are terrible. And then, I don't know, like, I actually thought the second one of this Last Jedi was actually better than Force Awakens. And the Force Awakens was just a pandering, stupid remake of New Hope with different characters, but basically the exact same plot line, and it was kind of dumb. I don't know. I was thoroughly unimpressed with the trailer. I usually get a little excited about this. I will see it the week after because it comes out around the holidays, and it's too busy at Christmas time for me. So my buddy and I, we always go see these movies together, so we'll probably go see it the week after it opens. We're not like the first night.
What do you eat in the movies, Joe? What's your candy of choice?
I am a Junior Mints kind of guy, or M&M's. That's where I go. How about you, Craig? Where are you going?
Popcorn usually for me. Yeah. Popcorn and that's it. Yeah.
I got to be in the mood for the popcorn. I still go the pot. I'll do the popcorn, but like a small popcorn. I'm not one of these giant tubs of popcorn guys.
No. I just what happens a lot of time, we go to this iPick movie and then they give you the popcorn. Because the tickets
are pretzel
so
nugget guy?
No.
You like the pretzel nugget?
No.
I like popcorn the pretzel nugget.
I used to be big on candy, but not anymore. All right. Final one here. CeCe Sabathia officially retires, Joe. And I think we all knew that was coming. Let's just be very succinct with this here. CeCe Sabathia, I think you and I probably feel he's a Hall of Famer. But the question becomes, is he a first ballot? Is he a second ballot? Is he a third ballot? What do you think?
I don't think he's a first ballot. I think I want to say first ballot. I you kind of throw this out the window, but I also like more unanimous guys. I'd like to say first ballot for the true elite players. And I think CeCe was a very good player. He's a Hall of Famer. No doubt about it. When you look at the stats and how he compares, but I'd say second.
I agree.
You know,
I agree. I think second ballot. Yeah.
First ballot to me is like that elite tier, you know, that guy you're like, oh my God, there's no way you can keep this guy out of the Hall of Fame.
I would guess that, that there is a good chance that he gets in on the first ballot. His character, a very high character guy, he'll get a lot of votes for that. But if I had to guess, he'd come up very short the first time, like in the 70 range.
Well, you also got to think who else retired this year, right? Who else is in? Like if Miguel Cabrera retires this year.
No, he's not. Right. Yeah, neither of them are. It's so hard, man.
But and those guys are first ballots to me. Like Cabrera,
without a doubt.
First
without
ballot.
A doubt. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah. All right, coming up next, our first ballot waiver wire ads of the football season. We're going to go through this, look back at who the best were and who the best will be moving forward. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, rise and grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
You want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL, DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments on the Daily Roto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you're playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com. It's where millionaires are made. All right, this football season, it has been probably a lukewarm waiver wire overall. There has yet to be that home run player, Joe, that was sitting out there that you picked up, let's just say right after week one, that has carried you to a championship. There really hasn't been. Now, don't get me wrong. There have been a few every week type players for sure. And we are also, by the way, only 7 weeks into this fantasy football season. And there could be, I believe there is a league winner somewhere still sitting on the waiver wire or maybe just recently picked up too. I definitely think that there is a chance at that. I'm not ruling that out. To this point in week seven, before we look at the players, we found some wide receiver threes. We found a couple tight end ones for sure. And that's not difficult to do considering how weak tight end is. And of course, with the quarterback injuries, surprisingly, we've gotten some pretty good quarterback options, maybe back end QB1 performances too. So overall, a solid waiver wire season through 7 weeks. But I don't feel like there has been one guy out there that you've picked up that has just basically carried you all season long.
Not carried you, but I think one or two of these guys on this list might have a chance to be league winners when all said and done, especially the tight ends, because tight end has been so bad. So if you waited on it and you got one of these guys off the waiver wire, it might have worked out significantly well for you. And that could be a game changer, but not in the sense of, oh my God, this guy is just, I'm running away with the league because of this guy. It was more like I've outperformed everybody else at tight end off the waiver wire. And that's allowed me to have a winning record kind of a thing. And maybe you're right. Maybe we haven't hit that guy yet. Maybe it's a Benny Snell, or maybe it's some other guy that hasn't really gotten the opportunity. We're almost at the halfway point. So in terms of regular season fantasy, we are at the halfway point. So that's something to keep in mind too, because now we're only 7 weeks away from playoffs, week 14, 15, 16, which is when you should play your playoffs, not week 17. No championships in the last week. It's dumb. Don't do that. Anyway, I think they're still the best might be yet to come in this season. And now with the trade deadline too, Craig, some things might open up as well for some other names and some new guys. So keep an eye on these deals and who benefits on the teams where these players have been dealt from.
Yeah, it definitely could. I mean, you think about last year, and depending on where you did your draft, there's no question that James Conner was left on a lot of waiver wires going into drafts and into week one, and that guy was a league winner. So like, there just hasn't been that type this season. But again, we are still early on. Somebody
usually it's a running back
up this week. Well, I mean, it could even be a receiver. It could be someone.
Usually it's a running back. Usually there's a guy off the waiver wire every year at the running back position who literally runs away with it. And that hasn't really been the case. And I think that's partially because we've seen such an influx of youth at the running back position, where some of it's worked, some of it hasn't. But even like second, third year players still in the very early part of their careers playing very, very well. And I think that's why you haven't really seen a lot of replacement value. So we're in like a different cycle of that, if that makes sense.
All right. So I'm trying to combine this between the first 7 weeks prior and the next 7 weeks ahead in terms of projection for me from the waiver wire. So, I mean, for me to this point, strictly statistically speaking, DJ Chark on Jacksonville, Joe, with the lone exception of last week, has been the absolute star off the wire, a guy that wasn't drafted in basically any fantasy league. D.D. Westbrook, of course, was in some. Jacksonville wasn't even thought to have great receivers, even with Nick Foles. But once Minshew came in right away, Chark became a guy. And again, I know that he had a down week last week, but overall, Joe, I looked at all the stats and went into this from start to finish. It seems to me he's been the most consistent, best guy from start to finish that was a waiver wire ad this year.
He's had two bad weeks in a row against the Saints, 3 for 43, and then 3 for 53 against Cincinnati, which was really the disappointing one. I think the Saints, we can all give him a mulligan, especially after Mike Evans doesn't have a catch against Marshawn Lattimore. Okay, fine. But then the second week here against Cincinnati, that's kind of a disappointment there. But you're right. I think for the two giant games that he gave you, the only trouble is that first giant game that he had was probably on the waiver wire. So you get to take advantage of that. So I just want to recalculate everybody's feelings about that, because there's a lot of leagues where he was still not owned in week two because a lot of people saw that and just were not buying it, not believing it. Who's this guy? It's a one-off. And then he comes back the next week, scores another touchdown with seven catches. Okay, now I'm going to pick him up. So there's a good chance that really the only great DJ Chark week you got was week five, where the 8 for 164 with the two scores. So we'll see what happens as time goes on. And we don't know what's going to happen when Nick Foles, if Nick Foles comes back and takes this job over, how that impacts DJ. But so far, he's definitely been a guy that if you were aggressive early on, or you're in a deeper league and you had him already, you've certainly, gotten your money's worth out of that fab budget on him.
Now, my second one, look, the second most productive one without a doubt is Darren Waller, but I did put Chase Edmonds above him for the future. That was kind of my thinking here. Look,
you're skewing this, it makes sense. Sure.
Yeah, only with this player, by the way, more or less moving forward, because I just am too scared to have him lower, knowing that Arizona's bringing in running backs this week, knowing that David Johnson seems a little bit fragile. And I mean, again, with Edmonds, the difference for me, Joe, in fantasy is if I saw last week against the Giants and it was 8 carries for 170 yards and 3 touchdowns, I would probably give a little pause. But because of the volume that he got running the ball, I got to believe that this is the circle the league winner type. And I am unwilling to put him any lower because he's going to be not only 100% owned in fantasy leagues, I think he'll be 100% started in fantasy leagues this week.
I think this might be that guy that we were talking about earlier, trying to identify who's that guy. Because if DJ really is more hurt than we realize, and let's be honest, his body has been failing him the last 3 years. This is not like a new thing with DJ. So Edmonds could be that guy in this Kingsbury offense who comes on and does become a league changer, especially because chances are you got Edmonds kind of cheap because he was more of a speculative ad. He wasn't like, oh, DJ's out. Everybody run to the waiver wire and get Chase Edmonds this week. It was kind of DJ may or may not play. You might want to get Chase Edmonds. So you probably got him for like $5 or something. So it's not like you had to go all in on your fab to get him. And if Edmonds keeps having even 85% of the kind of productivity he's had the last couple weeks, this is the kind of guy that wins you a league, especially when guys at the running back position have failed us miserably, some of them in terms of just productivity so far. I think Edmonds is that guy I would put him number one with that potential.
Okay. Waller from the Raiders has been top tight end in basically all of fantasy this season. And so the difference between him and everybody else is outstanding. I'm just unclear what he'll do the rest of the season. And I really can't believe that no teams are starting to focus more on him. But I guess the Raiders really like this other kid, Moreau, as well. So he has played well.
Well, yeah. Waller almost is like a hybrid. Like he was a wide receiver converted to tight end. So he's a little bit different and he's a matchup nightmare because he's big and strong and fast. And that's, if you get him out over the middle against linebackers, he's going to just feast on them all day. And if you try to put a corner on who's only like 5'10", I mean, he's got like 6 inches on that guy. Like, it's just, it's not a good matchup for anybody. So you could try to stop him all you want. It's going to come to double teaming him, but I don't know if their teams are ready to do that yet. We'll see.
All right. I have Terry McLaurin next. You threw a name in ahead of Waller.
He wasn't drafted everywhere, this guy. He really wasn't.
I in every league I was in, he was drafted.
Well, in every while, because you play with experts like
no, I don't. I don't.
No, look, he was drafted. Look, he was the 20th ranked tight end coming into the season. So you can't tell me in every league this guy was drafted.
Because maybe not, but every league I played in, he was
drafted. In your 10-team Rubes and Boobs mom and pop league, Mark Andrews probably was not drafted. I'm just saying, he probably wasn't. In 12-team leagues with people who really know what they're doing, yeah, probably he was. But Fantasy Pros had him ranked 20th overall going into this year. He was behind Kyle Rudolph and Jimmy Graham and ahead of Dallas Goedert and Mike Gesicki and TJ Hockenson. So, you know, again, in the kind of leagues we play in with the kind of people we play with, yeah, chances are. But if you look at if I could probably pull the stats up tomorrow of how
you,
many
you
leagues
know why in. You could be right is because I'm the one that has them in these leagues. Maybe that's the reason why I draft. Well, you know, I have them. Yeah. I have them in three of the four leagues I'm playing in.
Most people won't take two tight ends, even in a bad year of a draft where people want to speculate. They'll still just take the one and then play the wire.
Yeah, that makes sense. I took him and McDonald and I thought I'd be playing
McLaurin's
all year
better. So I'm fine with putting Terry McLaurin in.
Yeah, no. I mean, the problem that I see with McLaurin is that and I think he's number one from day one to now. But I'm worried about the rest of the season because if they go back to Haskins, that could be and they will go back to Haskins at some point. And then I think his value is dead because I think he's tied to Keenum. And let's be honest, even though the weather was horrible, there are no mulligans in fantasy. This is what we do. We play the result. And he did nothing last week. And he also missed a week a couple of weeks ago. So he's been great. He is far exceeded any expectation for any player because he was a completely unknown guy going into the season. But my ranking here is based on the next 6 weeks, not the first 7 weeks. That has to be part of the conversation. Up next, I've got my last two would be Teddy Bridgewater and Gardner Minshew. Bridgewater has also exceeded expectations and has been in a season of quarterback wasteland, Joe, a rock solid QB back end one. If you don't believe it, like if people don't believe it, look at the numbers. The dude throws for 250 and a touchdown every game. And there's no deviation from that. There's no Goff 78 yards. There's no Rivers, no touchdowns, three picks. There's no Dalton, one touchdown, three picks. Like he's never going to wow you, but he is not going to hurt you. And look at what would have happened if you started Darnold last night as opposed to Teddy Bridgewater. Darnold, you lost 5 to 7 points. Teddy Bridgewater, you got yourself your 8 to 10 points. That's what you want.
Yeah, and on top of that, when you realize when he took over the reins, there were lots of other options on the waiver wire. Mason Rudolph was one. There was a third one. I can't remember. Teddy Bridgewater and then somebody else. And the fact that you just made the simple choice when Breeze was out and pivoted to Teddy Bridgewater, you definitely won that battle on the waiver wire. And Teddy Bridgewater probably went for the least amount because everybody knew it was going to be a limited window. But turns out the simple move, the cheap move, was the right move.
Yeah, Kyle Allen as well. We got to put him in that conversation.
That was the third guy. I knew there was a third guy in there.
All right,
Teddy's been
quick.
Better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, Teddy, I'm going to start
him.
He's
going to have a job next year,
sure.
Baby. Yeah.
Yeah. Tampa Bay, probably. All right. Last one. Anyone else, by the way? I'm done with this. I'm done.
Let's see what Mark Walton does with the Dolphins. Let's see if he does take that job over and they start to play better football. I don't think we'll see how long Kerryon's out. It's too early to make that assumption. But the only other guy out there, because he's a running back and because everybody else seems to be falling down the depth chart, is Mark Walton. He's somebody we'll talk more about tomorrow on Waiver Wire Wednesday here on the show that I think might have that opportunity. But Chase Edmonds, I think that might be the league changer. And if you can get him in a deal, try to get him in trade right now.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not a big Walton guy, but and if Bellage is taking the goal line, I don't even know what the point would be. But look, he is a name and he is playing, just like Adrian Peterson. An active running back in the NFL must be owned. All right, we'll take a quick time out. Florida Man is next. Don't go away.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in, Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk. I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the newsfeed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. And now it's time on Fantasy Sports Today to see what's going on in the Sunshine State with Florida Man.
And welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today is back. And as always, it is a Tuesday, so it is a Florida Man Tuesday here on the show. We got a handful of good Florida Man stories, including a couple that are not far from my house. So I think that these will be some fun stories today. Joe, you ready to get started with a little Florida Man here on the show?
I'm always equal parts ready and equal parts terrified for Florida Man.
Yeah, I've started to shock you with these Florida Man stories, right? Like you're shocked.
Shock is a good word. Dismay.
Yeah, dismay is another good word.
It's more concern for you and your well-being. Then you could say, oh, yeah, this is not far from my house, or this happened around the corner. Yeah, it's. And then I start seeing them pop up on national news, too. And I'm just worried for you between the hurricanes and the people. Florida is like one giant death trap, but they have nice golf courses. So I guess
they do. They do. And iguanas, as I've told you before. Yeah.
I can't wait for the dead iguana pictures. I can't wait.
That's coming.
The morning I wake up.
You'll see it in January.
January.
I will send it to you.
Oh, that's going to be great. I'm going to wake up, roll out of bed, check my phone. And there's a picture of a dead iguana on the ground frozen. Awesome.
Yep. That will be it. All right. We'll start off with story number one, which is in the city that I live. All right. A Florida man accused of robbing three banks in 3 hours on Friday. Wow. Turned himself into police Saturday. His name was Sandy. He allegedly robbed a trio of banks in Broward County, which is where I live. And the spree started at a Chase Bank location in Hollywood, Florida. If I'm not mistaken, that's about 10 minutes from me. Not bad. When he approached a bank teller, he implied that he had a weapon, demanded more money. Then he moved on to a Bank of America, which is 5 minutes from me, and followed the same script. And then at 5:30 p.m., Joe, he took down a SunTrust bank, implied a weapon, and asked for money. The FBI released photos of him, and then he turned himself in on Saturday. So a three-bank robbery we start off with on this Florida Man Tuesday, Joe.
Well, you got to, first of all, the guy's efficient. We could say that. It was well planned out. Three different banks, so at least like one branch wasn't going to call the other branch. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you got a problem with this guy? Oh no, I'm at the Chase over on 5th Street. Oh no, I'm at the Chase on 12th Street. Oh, I better get ready. So different banks. So you give them credit there. You give them credit for the efficiency. I like how in the article it says, in the time it takes to watch a Quentin Tarantino movie or take in a baseball game, which right. clearly they've never taken in a baseball game between the Yankees and Red right. Sox.
Correct.
That would have taken about 6 hours for him to rob a bank. Just one, maybe. But this is a weird one in the sense that did he do it just to say, look at me, I can do this? Did he do it because he just wants to go back to prison? Was he in prison before? Or did he do this just because he wanted to see if he can get away with robbing a bank without anything? Because the implied weapon is my favorite part of this. Like, hey, why don't you give me that money? Because I, you know, got a little something, something here. You know what I'm saying? You know, right here, you know, in the pocket. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Three banks, man. Like, stop at one, two the most.
And they're they're taught to just give the money over, as they should. No one should lose their life for other people's money, let alone their own, but certainly not anyone else's money. So I get that. So just give him the money. But it's kind of, I mean, he basically robbed three banks in 3 hours with his finger, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. In my hometown, in my city.
Your hometown.
Yeah, not far from me. No wonder why my wife doesn't want to go food shopping.
Drive through only.
Pretty much.
Drive through teller only for Craig. He's downloading that app to his phone right now to deposit checks.
Yeah. I don't go to the bank, honestly, that much. Almost never.
Do you do the app thing? Do you do the banking
always.
App?
I don't go. I have not been inside a bank in months, probably.
I'm weird about the depositing checks on the phone thing.
Oh, I do all that. Yeah, I don't go to the bank.
That's the weirdest.
But I don't have any check deposits, so I don't.
I have one or two. So yeah. I'm kind of still like I still get like once or you know I get around then or you get checks for the kids. You know, somebody writes them a check.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, I do it all online. I don't go to the bank.
Yeah, see, I'm weird about that. I don't know why. I like the picture of the check floating around or it's in my phone. I don't know. I'm just weird about that.
Yeah, listen, everybody has their thing. You know, for me, it's just so easy.
Banks are weird now, by the way, too. No one works at the bank. It's just kiosks.
You walk in a bank. There's like two people there.
Yeah, there's like somebody having coffee. And like, hey, how are you? Like, that's
gosh, the best why is somebody here? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, hi there. Can I help you with something? Here's a kiosk. Go help yourself. You know?
Yeah, no, it's true. All right, here's the second story. This is one that's made national news. It's been on TV and stuff, not just here in Florida, but everybody else, because there's like some debate going on here, which is interesting. So we'll get Joe's take on it. Florida man was arrested finally a year after. Now, what happened here in this story is there was a man that was a peeping Tom in Fort Lauderdale and had done it apparently a lot in the community. And this man named Victor caught the man doing it. He had done it previously to his house. He was having relations with him and his girlfriend, it looks like, here in Fort Lauderdale in July of last year. They heard a noise at the window and he ran outside and then found the guy having relations with himself, I guess, apparently, whatever. Mm-hmm. So when officers arrived at the house, they found the guy, you know, not the peeping Tom, but the guy that he had beat him to death, basically. And after 6 months, they looked into it more. And now they finally have charged the guy with manslaughter here. So, man, this is a tough go of it here because we're really unclear of the circumstances. And no doubt, Joe, this is going to go to a trial of some kind. Of course, like this guy is probably not going to want to go down for doing this, but what would your reaction have been? I mean,
aside from this guy with his junk out, aside that's what it says in there,
from having a combat weapon in your hand,
right?
I'm going to guess that this goes to trial of some kind, and a jury will decide whether or not this guy ends up going to prison for basically using excessive force. That's what they'll claim, is that he used excessive force and ended up killing the guy, because the peeping Tom guy definitely deserves some sort of punishment. But the question probably is going to become, did this guy go too far by killing the guy? Most people will probably say yes, and some punishment will end up going down for this guy as well. That's a guess for me, but I'm not far.
I mean, I don't have to be, you know, Judge Judy to realize that he went too far here. I mean, that's pretty obvious. I don't understand why you just don't call the police. That's your tax money at work. And the other thing that I don't get about the peeping Tom is this. Explain this to me, Craig. The internet is good for two things, basically. A ton of sports information and great analytics and things like that. And pornography. Like, though, that's pretty much what the internet is known for. Let's be honest. That's what it's known for. So this guy's like hiding out in the bushes. What year is it? Does he not have the internet? I don't understand. Like, everybody's got the internet by some fashion, right? I don't understand why this guy's got to be outside the bushes somewhere watching other people, like when he could just be in the privacy of his own home doing that. That's the thing. I guess he's like old school, that guy. He was authentic. He was old school. I wonder if he wore the whole trench coat and the whole thing too. That's kind of odd.
So if you're sitting on a jury, Joe, with this Florida man, what would you recommend?
I would definitely recommend a short amount of prison time because he did kill a man. And as somebody who's, you know, been paid to not beat up people, but to pay to show people how to beat up people for a living for a decade, you know when enough is enough. And I think that this guy probably was, you know, from the look of him too, this guy was probably much bigger and physically more imposing than I'm guessing right. The other guy
could
was.
Have been. Yeah.
So he probably could have gotten the message across without going as far as he did. Now, look, in fights, crazy things happen. You can hit a person, they hit their head, they fall down.
Exactly.
You know, so it depends on the nature. I'd like to see the nature of the fatal wound. If I may,
yeah, it's going to be a big cross examination. Yeah, it's going to be a big trial. Yeah,
he's going to get jail time, but this probably is not so. Like life in prison. I'm thinking he's like going to get 5 years.
Yeah. No, yeah, really? I don't think so.
Oh, 3 to 5. He killed.
Well, they didn't charge him with murder. They only charged him with manslaughter.
Yeah, but that's still 3 to 5, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. It depends on
in Florida. It's like an afternoon.
Yeah, he'll be out tomorrow. You're right. All right. The third story here. Here's another one that's not far from me. My brother actually is.
You gotta stop with this Parkland. Preface. This is not good.
No, this is really close to me. A Florida man who chronicled his 9-foot long alligator in a series.
I wasn't
of,
sure yeah, where you were going.
Yeah, I had to stop there. on
took
Instagram.
A really big walk-in-esque pause there. It was 9 foot and then it was a big pause. Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. So the animal will be used for educational purposes. Paul Bedard of Gator Boys Alligator Rescue was called to a Parkland home on Tuesday of last week. He found a gator in the swimming pool, a 200-pound gator in the Parkland swimming pool. He says he was mellow when I caught him. I named him Cool Hand Luke because the gator was so mellow and cool. He didn't try to get away from me. He didn't even try to come after me. He was just really cool. He had a really mellow personality. So basically, the guy went in the pool, jumped in, swam around with the gator, and then there's this picture of him basically bench pressing the gator in the pool and showing how you're supposed to react when a gator is in your pool. I got news for you. When the gator is in my pool, I'm running as fast as I can and doing nothing else. But this guy jumped in, took the gator out.
It seems like the mentality of people in Florida is from their window. If they see anyone doing anything outside their home, they're running out and engaging with either another person or an alligator or whatever it is. That's not the nature of us Northeastern people. The nature of us Northeastern people is you call the police. That's what you do. You call animal control. You call the police. Not Florida. Nope. You just go out there and you get going. You roll your sleeves up. And that is a huge, the picture of this
huge,
alligator
man.
Is, it's huge. It's huge. And I don't know. I haven't had a lot of experiences with alligators, but I've been told by the crocodile hunter that they're dangerous. I remember that. And,
yeah, I mean, I come in contact with them quite a bit, but you don't go near them. Like, it's just like you see it and like, oh, there's a gator. And then you just go away.
Well, I guess maybe we've hit a spot there in Florida where they've just been so conditioned to people that they are not worried about people.
Yeah. I mean, there. But again, this gator had a good personality. Some don't. You know, you just don't know. Like, we had that story about the beer. The guy put
right.
beer in. The
Some
beer.
Alligators are just really hot if they have a crap personality. You know,
exactly.
Like, this one's exactly. just, you know, might be bigger and fatter. But you
I
know,
mean,
that, really good
I mean, some of them, you know, played David Johnson last week. You know, they're all upset. All right. Last story here. A Florida man used a badge he purchased from eBay and red and blue lights installed in his vehicle in an attempt to impersonate a law enforcement officer. Great mugshot, by the way. According to the Orlando Police Department, after an officer was patrolling on Colonial Drive and Mills Avenue in Orlando, he noticed a black four-door Acura with flashing red and blue lights. It appeared to be trying to pull over another driver. Police said that he saw the patrol driver nearby, and the man basically didn't think that there was anything wrong with it. He said he admitted to buying the badge on eBay. He's 62 years old. He had a police athletic league license plate. And he said that he's a volunteer law enforcement agent, but he was also arrested on falsely impersonating an officer, prohibited use of certain lights, and unlawful use of a police badge. Thought it was okay to just buy a badge on eBay, Joe.
Well, he's Batman.
There was a Batman guy, right? Wasn't there a guy that they pulled over one time that was trying to be Batman or something?
Yeah, something like that. Either, yeah, I want to say it was Batman or Spider-Man. Like, this guy would like really thought he was, and he was out there like trying to stop crime and stuff. The mugshot is kind of funny. It looks like it looks like an extra cast member from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or something. This guy,
yeah,
like
this guy he's got rough. Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but like for my money, this is not the guy that I really want as a volunteer law enforcement. He doesn't seem like he's...
No, I would say that he no longer will be one, Joe.
Like, I'll give you a for instance. Like, if Terry Crews decided tomorrow he was going to be a voluntary law enforcement guy, I bet Terry Crews could clean up the streets. That's a big, strong, intimidating-looking dude. He comes over to you with a badge. You're like, yes, sir. Yes, officer, whatever. This guy, not so much. I feel like this guy is the guy waiting in front of line, you know, at the 7-Eleven for the coffee for you. And then that's, you know, yeah. I don't know. It's...
Buying badges on eBay, using them as police.
Well, officers. That's the weird thing, too. That's like, what's the black market?
Today, I think
The black market badge economy is big.
I don't know. You probably could buy like a used one for like $30, I would guess.
I mean, well, look, I bought this co-host gig. This co-host gig was on eBay and I bought it. So that's there it is. Stuck with me.
There it is. Perfect. Yeah.
So I guess anything's possible. Rate.
Yeah,
it's terrific, man. I'm got to pretend that I know stuff about sports.
Yeah, the Saturday TV show was even cheaper.
Sunday.
All right. Yeah. Sunday. Sorry, my bad. All right. We'll take a quick timeout. Best of the first hour. And then, yes, the Guillotine League summary for our week continues next. Well, don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/DUNK to learn more.
When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change, like...
So this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we wrap up the first hour of the show, here's what you missed. Dede Westbrook, of course, was in some. Jacksonville wasn't even thought to have great receivers, even with Nick Foles. But once Minshew came in right away, Chark became a guy. And again, I know that he had a down week last week, but overall, Joe, I looked at all the stats and went into this from start to finish. It seems to me he's been the most consistent, best guy from start to finish that was a waiver wire ad this year.
He's had two bad weeks in a row against the Saints, 3-for-43 and then 3-for-53 against Cincinnati, which was really the disappointing one. I think the Saints, we can all give him a mulligan, especially after Mike Evans doesn't have a catch against Marshawn Lattimore. Okay, fine. But then the second week here against Cincinnati, that's kind of a disappointment there. But you're right. I think for the two giant games that he gave you, the only trouble is that first giant game that he had was probably on the waiver wire, so you get to take advantage of that. So I just want to recalculate everybody's feelings about that, because there's a lot of leagues where he was still not owned in week two because a lot of people saw that and just were not buying it, not believing it. Who's this guy? It's a one-off. And then he comes back the next week, scores another touchdown with seven catches. Okay, now I'm going to pick him up. So there's a good chance that really the only great DJ Shark week you got was week five, where the 8-for-164 with the two scores. So we'll see what happens as time goes on. And we don't know what's going to happen when Nick Foles, if Nick Foles comes back and takes this job over, how that impacts DJ. But so far, he's definitely been a guy that if you were aggressive early on, or you're in a deeper league and you had him already, you've certainly, gotten your money's worth out of that fab budget on him.
And we'll be right back with more Fantasy Sports Today, hour number two, if you're listening live, or if you're listening on demand. This is FNTSY Radio.
These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.